Good evening, everyone. So last weekend, we joked around with Coach Obleda about Adam holding his breath until Rafa Mensigan was announced, and it worked. He got in the game, was in the 18. So I'm just wondering, what other things are we wanting the team to do that we obviously can use this immature tactic to get from them? What do you guys think?
Well, Messi is now available as a free transfer, but I don't know if we can get Bob on board for that.
Probably a little out of the budget.
Yeah.
I don't know, Alex, you got anything?
I think you guys are missing the most important one of all. I am going to hold my breath until the Chattanooga Red Wolves release the rusty third kit.
Soccer chat with two T's. Because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Hey, Alex survived.
Wow. Oh, do you guys want me to start this off? Okay. Welcome to season three. Is episode 12. We're at the point in the season where Alex loses count of
how many episodes
we've done.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Episode Blur's Day. Welcome. So we had a 1-1 draw against Greenville. Adam, I believe you were the only one actually in attendance.
Well, I mean, not the only one. There was quite a few of us there. Just you two decided to find other things to do.
Yeah, I just meant of the Brisket Boys. So I think story as old as time, League One referee that wasn't very good. We don't want to necessarily go over all that ground.
I'm going to argue he was good at what he wanted to do. I think Kay Baker pointed it out perfectly. This is not the first time he's had an uneven amount of fouls called against one team versus the other, and the other being Greenville. I think, honestly, I think that's what he was going for, was to referee as poorly as possible, and he accomplished his goal.
Isn't it interesting, though, that while he's doing this, the colors the refs are wearing are Greenville green? Do you think maybe when they're refereeing a game, they would make sure they wear a jersey that isn't the home colors of one of the teams?
I'm scanning behind Jeff for all the 3x5 cards and the yarn.
Oh, there's definitely yarn going on behind that. That's why Wolves poster is there.
Yeah.
Exciting conspiracy theory. He flips it around and he's got his conspiracy board. That's good.
No, yeah. I'm telling you right now, though, that was one of the worst. Like, USL League One refs are bad. That guy was really bad. Like, he lost control of the game 10 minutes in. And I'm sorry, you've got four refs there that are watching that game. And I understand that there may have been some instigation done by Ramos, but you can't have a situation where a player slaps another player across the face with a full backhand and doesn't even get a foul called, much less what he should have gotten, which is a red card. So if you're going to argue that Ramos, you know, instigated it, that's a yellow for Ramos. It was a red because you can't slap a guy across the face, and they all miss it. Like, how do all four of them miss it? Three of them are standing right there. The fourth referee, the side judge, and the main ref are within 15 feet of where it's happening. None of them see it, yet everyone else in the entire stand sees what happens. It's ridiculous.
And I have seen, you know, obviously it's not on the TV broadcast, I should say. It's not on the broadcast view, but I have seen a pretty clear camera angle of a turn and a deliberate slap at the face. So this wasn't even like, my hand happened
to be
above
my
shoulder.
He's trying to fix his ponytail? No.
Right. But I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happened with that. But, you know, along with the other news for that, Coach Obleda picked up a yellow card and then not too long after a second yellow card and had to leave the game. So how did that feel in the stadium?
So first off, the stadium was amazing because starting from the supporters section and working out into the Bryan College section, it was pretty loud because of the fact that there's a good chance Rafa was going to come in and always there for Ricketts, right? There's the entire stadium to a point started chanting Coach Jimmy Obleda at the top of their lungs as he was walking, I believe, the longest possible route out of the stadium. Because instead of going right and going right towards like the hill, He made a left and went all the way down past the supporters section, all the way out the back.
The TV showed it. The TV showed it. He started right. You could see it on the TV and him go, no, I'm not going to go this way. I'm going to go that way. And taking it, and he knew he was inciting the crowd the whole way. So he was milking it because it wasn't going to hurt his team. All it was going to do was get the fans really into it, and it worked.
That's a nice bonus. I think he was trying to avoid walking in front of the Greenville bench. Possibly knew that he was already hot and might say something. Someone else might say something. If he went that direction, the referee might follow him and ask John Harkes for an autograph. So
he already got one on the bottom of his check.
Yeah. So
bad refing.
We need to check and see if any of the refs have named their children John Harkes, but it's it was pretty hot. I'd seen one of the pictures that I assumed it was with Brian was with cowbell in hand, ready to strike, and the coach having words with the ref. And it was, I assumed, because I hadn't seen the game yet, but I heard about the game, I assumed that was the point of the ejection. It actually wasn't. It was when his player was knocked out. And but it was interesting to see that. So it's kind of building up. So I was like, I knew it was coming. And so it's like, I already knew the spoiler. So I was looking for it. And I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the big theme. But the other big theme of that game, when you look back at it, was once again missed opportunities. Specifically, you know, later in the game, when Galindres is in the game, he takes a shot. He misses by about 3 feet. And you look over, and our player is standing right in front of the goal. Dallas J had already fully committed to stopping Galindres. And if Galindres would have just tapped it right, would have been a wide open goal. I'm not blaming him for it, but it was missed opportunities was the theme of the night yet again for us. Once again, lopsided on shots. And it's just kind of one of those things where you keep expecting it to suddenly kick in. And this is one of those games that I really feel, even though we were playing against 12 men, we should have been able to get the victory.
I think that one of the amazing stats I'm seeing here is Greenville's shots on target is zero.
Yeah.
They didn't put a shot on target during the game. There was a kind of impressive dribbling performance where he got in and he sent the ball scooting across that they say went off the bottom of a Red Wolves foot and into the goal. But apparently they had three total shots, and apparently none of them qualified as on target. I think that's impressive defense.
So that goal did happen literally right in front of us in the supporters section. And I understand that they called it an own goal on Jonathan, but I don't know if Jonathan doesn't hit that, I feel like it was in an angle that it would have gone in the corner.
Esparza. Mm-hmm. It was countered against Esparza. But it was one of those, I see mixed bag out of this. I see the fact that it's I have too much respect for Greenville, and I realize they're not at the level they were at last year, but they still have, they do pack quite a punch. So they're hard to score on, and they usually take care of business. So it's hard to punch into there, but I really feel for Esparza, because I hope he doesn't beat himself up for that, because I don't think he could have done anything else.
Well, and looking at the stats you've got up here, the one that I talk about missed opportunities, 7 shots inside the box. So these these shots aren't coming from way the heck out. These were reasonable distance shots that were being missed. And I would argue a couple times, more than just the Galindres one, they were missed opportunities that just a layoff to someone else for an easier shot. Mm-hmm. And that's what worries me a little bit, is we're starting to a point kind of force it, because we're not getting those shots, and everyone's saying, well, I'll get it in, I'll take care of it. And that worries me a little. The other part of it, I think it's time for coach to flip this switch. And even though Blake got the goal, I think anyone who plays soccer, who was standing where Blake was standing, would have gotten that goal. I think it's time for him to flip it and bring in Galindres to start, because I think we just need somebody who really has a finisher's touch up there for longer than just 25 minutes.
Well, I'm wondering if after this game, or maybe after the next, because we do got, we'll talk about the other game next, if that's a game that the coach feels a little better about mixing things up. Also, we now have Rafa as an option. And of course, I know we're going to talk more about Rafa a little bit there, but I'm wondering when he gets Rafa at full speed, if he feels a little more comfortable mixing those two around. And up until this game, it worked. And again, you could also say it worked this time because Blake got it in. But the real key was we're making all these shots, not as much as North Carolina, but we made still a lot of shots and a lot of them on target, but they're not getting in. So we still got to work on finishing. Outside of what anyone else does, no matter what the refs do, we've got to work on getting that ball in the net.
And I want to mention this. I'm not the only one that was in that supporters section that felt that ball was going in either way. Michael Creel posted on YouTube that the ball was going in either way. He could tell he felt awful. And there was actually, more and more kind of turned to him upset. And I wanted to yell to more and more. I'd be like, dude, it's going in either way. Like, he just made it happen faster. Like, if he's not there, that's going in. So, yeah, just going to mention that, I don't know why. I always hate it when own goals get counted against you. When if you're not there, it's going in anyways. Why is that an own goal? That's not, in my opinion. But anyways.
Yeah. So Jonathan Esparza, don't sweat that, man. You're quality, and we will see you continue to grow because you're getting better and better each match.
So that's one of the other things that someone had asked over the weekend. So Blake got his goal. Great long ball from Ricketts that is played to Josue España that he brings down off his chest and puts a good shot that Dallas J deflects off the post, and it comes to Frischi. And were you guys a little surprised at Frischi's celebration, or you could even call it a lack thereof?
I believe that was that's what you referred to as a Mormon's highest level of excitement, actually. it was legitimately like one of the, like, I used to make fun of my son when he would play in a game and like he'd score and it's like we had told him a couple times not to overdo it because he watches a lot of like highlights and things from like over in Europe. So these guys are going over the crazy, or if he ever watches Galindres score a goal where he's going to dance and take the show. So we kind of tell him like, don't over celebrate. Well, he's gone the other end where he just like, he scores and like lowers his head and like walks away. That's what I felt like happened. Like, it was like, Blake, you're allowed to get excited. Like, we've been waiting for this. Feel free to jump up and down. From where I was sitting in his lack of excitement, I genuinely thought he must have known he was off sides or must have known.
That's like, what I wondered was like, is he thinking it's not going to stand because of the lack of, I was like, oh man, was there something I missed? But there's no VAR to check. I felt the same way, Adam. I'm like, is there something I didn't see that maybe he saw, or maybe is going to be his response, or is he just still hasn't accepted the fact that he finally got his first goal?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that he said is once he can get one, he's expecting them to come in bunches. So fingers crossed for this weekend in Omaha, whether he's starting or whether he's coming off the bench, that that he's able to, come at it and feel that relief and now, really, really put this thing into overdrive. So one of the other ones we were excited about, I would have loved to have seen him come in a little earlier because I think he had a good effect on the game. And I can just imagine that it had to be coming off the injury that they were very strictly managing his minutes. And it's Rafa Mensigan, we talked about at the top of the show. So came in, gave 15 minutes, was very close to getting a game-winning assist. What did you guys think about Rafa, Adam, here again in the stadium, seeing it live? What did you feel about what he did out there?
So I'm going to be honest with you. I feel a lot like, once again, I'm going to bring up Michael Creel's comment on YouTube. I feel a lot like he did. He stumbled and scared me a couple times. I was worried that he either wasn't 100% or he himself was worried about re-injuring himself, because live-wise, he did look a little bit tentative at times, because I'm just thinking back to watching him either in preseason or when he was with Lansing Ignite. I didn't really watch him at Memphis 901. He was a much more just full speed 100% of the time, and I felt like he was holding back a little bit. But at the same time, it could have just been situational where he's getting fully his feet wet in a live game situation, which is very different.
You know, the weird thing is, yes, you could tell he wasn't 100%, but at the same time, the way he struts out there, he's got such confidence when he gets out there. I think it's infectious to the rest of the team, and I think it sends a signal out to the opposing team. He's strutting out like David Lee Roth. He wasn't a good singer, but but you paid attention to him because he was insane, and he just had that much moxie. And so he's not a Hagar. He's more of a David Lee Roth.
So Alex, let me ask you this. What did you think about the fact that Rafa coming on seemed to move Markey to the other side of the field?
I mean, I think what I saw was really, it was Markey's decision. So there was some play, I don't know if it was off a corner or something, where they got kind of mixed up and they were on switch sides. And I saw Markey put his finger up in the air, kind of point over to him, like, hey, just stay over there. And the two of them ended up switching sides. And so I don't see that as much of an issue. I think both of them can come from either side. And the prospect of them switching up and moving back and forth across each other, and, you know, the defender thinking, oh, I've got Menske. Wait, who's Markey? Oh, no. You know, those guys can get right past the defender. And so I think that's going to be a great combination to come once they're both fully fit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was going to say, once they get their rhythm together, I think you're going to be seeing things moved around. I do notice that Markey likes being close up with players he's had history with, such as Ricky Ruiz or Rowe, people he's grown up with. He likes to feed off of them, especially at the end. And so as he gets that rhythm with Rafa, he's already got that he's already building that rapport with Tanky. And so I think once you get a few games with Rafa in there, I think they're going to be adjustable.
So one of my favorite parts of that game, there wasn't a lot of positive interaction between the opposing teams, which you sometimes will see. I mean, it was a very chippy game. But one of the more positive aspects that did happen, when Markey came in, he did his classic Markey leg over leg over leg over leg over leg, like a move. And the defender didn't fall for it at all, but held with him. And then all of a sudden, Markey was like, oh, I can also fly by you, because I'm not only a trickster with my feet, I'm also really, really fast, and got a cross across. And then to their defender's credit, he slides and is able to block it and put it into a corner. And they both like start laughing. I don't know what someone said to each other one, but they made both of them start laughing. And then the defender comes and slaps on the back like a positive thing. That was really good to see, because it was 70, 80 minutes into the game when these two teams were at each other's throats and not exactly the nicest way. You know, Man Bun 19 and Ramos were going to kill each other. I felt like at some point, like it was very much like at some point, either you're going to see a choke hold and slam, or someone get pulled by their man bun, or a slap across the face. Oh wait, that did happen. So to see a positive was good.
I would recommend that both Booth and Donnelly, if next time they come in, to stay on the bus as long as you can and get back on the bus, and don't be spending too much time around Chattanooga. Because those two guys were just, they didn't make any friends. They're not there to make friends, but just a few things seemed a little bit, a little more than what they needed just to get the ball.
Overall, I would say it was a positive. So we've talked a lot about made up rivalries that happen. Things that go through, you know, through Twitter in ridiculous bants and all that other stuff on social media. This felt like two teams who knew about the quality of the other side, and it had that playoff intensity, and it felt like a real on the field rivalry. So on the 24th, when they come back, everyone is going to be primed and ready. Excited for this match on the field and off the, you know, in the stands. And the same thing, you know, I think folks are probably now looking at when those Greenville games are, to make that trip and go out because of that. So, you know, they've tried to manufacture quite a few of these rivalries, but I think if you look at the way this game went, it's creating the actual on-field gameplay rivalry, which is what you see in, you know, all the derbies and everything that people love about English Premier League. So I think that's going to be a good thing.
I would put them and then Richmond as the two that our rivalry is based on what happens on the pitch.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if this weekend changes that when we play at the Little League Stadium, because I do think Omaha has shown some strength on the field so far this year. They've got our best scorer from last year. We're struggling to finish up front, and our best scorer from last year to finish is an Omaha with a hat trick in a recent game, which it was a hat trick, but it was one of those gifted half tricks. It wasn't like he took over to create the hat trick, but you know, I'm a huge fan of his, and we haven't hidden that, right? But as we look into Omaha, I think that's what I want to see. I want to see Omaha and Chattanooga and Greenville and maybe Richmond build that rivalry on what they do on the field. And I think the Greenville right now, Greenville Chattanooga is the most of the players, at least, seems to be the most chippy rivalry on the field. And we'll see what happens with other teams.
Yeah.
So let's look ahead to Omaha coming up. If we had a good producer, we'd have Peyton Manning shouting Omaha right now, but we don't.
But you have me, and I was on vacation until an hour ago.
Had to go out to the woods and trim his beard and find his zen.
Yeah.
So Omaha is coming in, of course, very strong. One loss on the season. They have 3 wins and a draw in the last 4 games that they've played. And they'll be, as Adam said, in their Little League Baseball stadium with their horrible turf that makes me worried if you guys are talking about the fact that Rafa maybe isn't 100% and you know, is worried about tweaking stuff, you know, stepping on a turf seam on the third baseline. But also, Omaha is built for that small stadium.
Very much so.
And the Red Wolves are a team who likes to expose themselves in the back in order to push forward. Feels to me a bit...
Sorry, the 12-year-old me just took over.
Fair enough. I see what you did there. Oh, that's what they wanted to do to the referee last Saturday.
Word.
So they like to, you know, they like to stretch themselves in order to attack. It feels a little bit like a bad matchup to me. What are you guys thinking?
Well, you know what? Even though the Greenville match didn't go as we wanted, we still, I think we still have some momentum going into this. And maybe actually not getting the win against Greenville is going to give us a little extra. I'm feeling actually pretty confident. I know that Omaha is looking good right now. And you know what? I think that I think our team is okay with not just beating up on those who were lower on the table. They want to strike at those league leaders. And Omaha is sitting right now on points on as number one. And we got a case to make with our points per game. And so I think there's two chips on each of our shoulders.
So I think the stats you have up here are really important to pick up on for two reasons. One, obviously they've got a main person that's scoring, but like I said, he had a hat trick in one game. So he's got 3 goals in the other 9. So if you go back a game, take that one game away, that's pretty even distribution.
Yeah.
So don't let the 6 goals and 10 appearances trick you into thinking it's all Greg Hurst or nothing. They distribute who scores pretty well. Part of that is when you start on defense and you're already on offense because your field is so tiny, it makes it a whole lot easier to get up there and have multiple people involved in the attack because you don't get stretched thin by moving forward. That is going to be something we're going to have to figure out how we handle that, because one of our strengths is pushing forward and having that type of situation where we're forcing, we're high pressing, we're doing those things, which doesn't really work well on a tiny field. So it'll be interesting to see how the two different things interact. That's a really great stat you're looking at there. Like, who do you focus on? Do you focus on stopping him, who you got as number one there for creating chances, or do you focus on stopping Hurst? Because I'm not about to try to say that name.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to call him Lord Vader, and because if we don't call him Vader, then we have failed the city. And so, but yeah, that is a, even though it's actually even more balanced with chances created, but Damian Vader is certainly the guy. If you pull him out from the game, you're going to be seeing a lot less shots on target. They'll still get a lot of shots, but remember, if Hurst played a lot better with Ami, or he played better with someone in the midfield that was feeding him, and when they were injured and hurt, it was harder for Hurst to chip those goals in. And so I would say the strategy would be, if you take care of Vader, then Hurst, you have to watch him, but his shots aren't going to be as much on target.
So going into this game, one of the things that's going to be missing as we go in is going to be Coach Obleda, because he does get a suspension, I believe, for his red card. Correct, Alex?
Yeah, he would have a suspension of a game for the red card. I was talking at the women's game on Sunday with Sean McDaniel about the coaching vacancy for the one game. He asked me to send him a resume just so he could print it out and throw it away.
Yeah, I believe he's got a pretty strong number two already there, right?
Yeah, I mean, we all feel, I think, pretty confident with Coach Sawcheck taking over. One of the things that, you know, if you spend any time around the team and watch, he has the respect of all of those players. So he's not necessarily as fiery a guy as Coach Obleda, but you know that the team is going to be ready for what he has to say. That he is bought into the system that Obleda has. So he's not going to be, you know, trying to make changes or anything. And the players are going to respond just as well to him as I think you would see with if Coach Obleda had been there.
Yeah, he's not just like an offensive specialist or defensive specialist. He is all over the pitch. And so
you've seen his arms. He's a weight room specialist, that's for sure.
That's from all of the, shoveling all the snow in Finland. So that's where how you got that all built up.
All right, so let me go ahead and take some thunder away from Alex, because he usually asks this question. But going into Omaha, it's not like Obleda won't be involved in making these decisions. Are you expecting any lineup changes when we're dealing with the different team, the smaller field, and more people slowly recovering from injuries? You know, you've got Marky still working his way back fully from the hamstring, which I feel like he's back from that. I think it's more strategy, but that's just me. You've got Rafa, who came back, which I seriously doubt you'll see him start. But do you expect any changes? And why don't we let Alex start for once, since usually he's the one asking this question.
Well, I think the more important question is, with this field being possibly less than the minimum allowed by the rules, and our free range goalkeeper, is there a chance that Sebastian Moramora tries a shot from the top of the box, which is only like 70 yards from goal? Do you think he tries a shot?
I wouldn't put it past him. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I wouldn't put it past him. Like, we've asked the question. And I would not put it past him to take a shot. I'm just saying.
It really has to do with if we're really way up and there's some padding that way, or we're really way back and it, you know, every goal counts. So I don't think if it's a tight game, he would.
Of course, one thing with the field being smaller is, you know, he's not going to have as much room, you know, players getting up the field. He's not really going to have the ability to have that much open space to run and take a ball, I would say. But I just had to throw that in there for giggles. As far as changes, considering it's a little bit of a smaller, narrower field, maybe you do start Marky, knowing that you can bring Rafa off the bench as a change of pace to go at tired legs and give him a chance to really have, you know, 60, 70 minutes to go at someone and try to put them on the back heel and maybe put them behind. That's really one of the few changes that I would see. Other than that, they seem to like kind of the starting 11 they have, at least until they've got Rafa back at full fitness. I think you're still going to see Ray Ortiz. I think you're still going to see Blake Frischknecht as the starter. I don't see any changes in the back either, unless possibly Jorge Luna is available and ready to come back. I believe Capizucci is back from the shadow suspension that he was under. So they will have him, but I would say he's probably available off the bench.
And that was a question that our good friend Kay Baker had asked, was about Seabass and one of our Seabasses. And yes, it sounds like
he's the Chilean Seabass.
He's a Chilean Seabass. as far as for Jorge, if he's available, just knowing our trends, I would be doubtful he would start. I would say if Jorge is available, then they would try to work him in later on to the match. They rarely start someone coming off an injury. The one I'm actually kind of getting concerned about again, because he's on the injured list again, is Wolafie. And so if we get him back, that does change things.
I've got some news on that. At the tailgate that you guys both unfortunately had to miss, Wally came up in a lovely knee brace. He did have his surgery. It is not as bad as in the previous. He is getting a pin removed that has been causing some discomfort, and he is 4 to 6 weeks from when that surgery happened. So,
okay. So
that is the news that we have on the Wally front. So we would not expect to see him until probably, my guess, knowing how cautious we are, mid to late August.
Yeah, if not September.
Yeah.
That answers that question. But thankfully, we're getting some of our other players, you know, fit, and they're kind of connecting there. I still think we're just so much better of a team when Wally's there. But
for me, something I'd like to see, which I was really surprised to not see him get more time this last game, was Jackson Dietrich. I thought had a really good game the previous game, and then he didn't get on the field this time. Part of that, I'm sure, was trying to get Rafa in there. I would have preferred Dietrich coming on over Ro Pineda, just because I feel like Dietrich just brings something slightly different than Ro. I don't think that Ro is anything wrong with bringing on Ro. I just would have liked to. I just felt like Dietrich had earned that right to come back on. So I'd like to see him maybe even come in a little bit earlier. Honestly, we don't do a lot of rotation of our starters, but I wouldn't be surprised if you saw either Espana or Villalobos be substituted for by either Marky Hernandez starting or even Rafa starting, with the knowledge that you're going to bring him off after 30 minutes just to throw a loop at Omaha, because they're probably not expecting Rafa to start. With a five sub rule, you can take that risk that you couldn't really with a three sub. So that's the only reason I could see maybe something like that happening.
What I would think would be like moving Jimmy or moving Espana and having Ray come off the bench if you had Marky in.
Yeah, I don't think Ray's coming off. I think Coach sees Ray as somebody who he can trust to distribute early on in the game. He has a lot of trust in him. He does bring him off later in the game, but I think that's because he's building up his stamina. I think he eventually sees Ray as a 90-minute guy.
Well, he's like somewhere between Ricky and Marky as far as for what he brings. So he's got a lot of creativity, and he's always hustling. He's always moving. The reason I mention him though is that there's some of the stuff he does that Marky also does. So it just seems more of a like for like. He's a lot like Marky, which says a lot.
Okay. Let's go to predictions.
All right, I'll go. Because it looks like Wolfman Jeff is going to not be able to provide us with anything anytime soon. He is very, very confused as to what to say. This is an easy decision. It's a 3-1 loss.
That happens with age.
Did you hear that? It's a 3-1 loss.
Wow. Someone just gave him a bowl of negativity.
Here's why. Our team is not built well to play on that field. Their team is built to play on that field. It is a tiny field. It plays right into their hands. And if we continue to start more and more in goal, where he has a tendency to let the ball slip out of his hands, it's going to bite us. And when you can be super aggressive on a tiny field, which you can, there's more likeliness for that to happen. I'm expecting this to be a pretty brutal loss.
So do you think that it would be Trulk would perform better than Moramora?
We haven't got to see him in game. All we're seeing him is in warmups, but I'm not seeing the ball bounce off him in warmups, is all I'm saying. But that said, there's a reason the coach is the coach and I'm not, right? Yeah. And I do trust our coach to make good decisions, but last year he never once brought Trilk in. This year he hasn't brought him in, so he must be seeing something I'm not seeing. But during warmups and stuff, and if you look back at his college career, he was a quality keeper. Moramora hasn't been this knockdown, amazing keeper that makes sense for us to never rotate out. But I'm more saying it not as a knock on Moramora, but just their team is built correctly for where they play. Our team is built exactly the opposite of that. We play a lot better on a longer field where we can play over the top. We can use that speed. We can use Markey coming in the 65th minute to knock out those tired legs. They're not going to be as tired because they don't have to run as much. So I'm not optimistic on this one. So that's my bad prediction. 3-1 loss.
My head wants to say 1-1 because I think we're going to get in there. I do think they're going to get at least one, but my heart is going to override, and I'm going to go 2-1. Or actually, I should say 1-2 Red Wolves. And I just maybe I am being optimistic. Hey, you know, I have to offset you. Otherwise, we'll lop over on the drudge side. So I got to be the Pollyanna over here.
Hey, last time I predicted a loss, we won the exact score in the opposite direction. So think of it like that.
All right, so Adam is...
I'm being delusional. I know I'm being
delusional. Jeff is Paula Abdul. I guess I have to be Randy Jackson then. So look, dog. Here's the thing. I'm afraid it's going to be a no for me. I think this is going to be a struggle. Not having the emotional lift that Jimmy Obleda can give is probably going to hurt us in the end. And our defense that can kind of leak an unfortunate goal every now and then may get the better of us. And I'm afraid it's going to be a 2-1 Omafraud victory. And we will be disappointed. However, the stats don't back it up. If you look at the Red Wolves, any game that with both games where we've dropped points, we have responded with back-to-back wins. So if you look at when we had our tie in New England, we had back-to-back wins with the home games. We lost in Tormenta, back-to-back wins. So we dropped points against Greenville. Hopefully we'll have a chance to respond again in the win column. Because what the heck do I know? I'm just some doofus that does a soccer podcast.
I do think that we are going to be having a lot of shots and a lot of shots on goal, but I'm afraid we're still going to be struggling with actually getting those shots on goal in the goal.
Hopefully the camera from way out in left field will be zoomed in enough that we can see the shots on goal.
Maybe the seventh inning stretch will help us out to work all that out.
This game's going to be a home run. I got nothing else. Anything else about the Red Wolves game? Okay. Thunder and Lightning, not a fan of the Lady Red Wolves as they tried to replay. I don't know if it was a rematch or a replay of the previous game against the Southern Soccer Academy that got rained out.
It was thundered out. Yeah.
Yet again, rained out. But the Lady Red Wolves won Friday and Sunday in Chattanooga, and they are you know, a win in their next game can get them up to the top of the table and qualify for, you know, the regional playoff with the WPSL. So good luck, ladies. Had a delightful evening sampling brewski beer at the Lady Red Bulls game on Sunday. Delicious, refreshing, good times. Ladies played well. Danny Krzyniak with a penalty kick save to keep the shutout. Way to go, Danny. And that's Lady Red Wolves. Dalton Red Wolves did not come up with a great result on Monday. I believe they lost in Charlotte, but they've been having a little bit better of a run. I don't have any update on Park City, but Chattanooga Red Wolves Academy, the 05 and 06 boys going to the ECNL playoffs in Greensboro, North Carolina. Good luck, boys.
Good luck, guys.
Very good.
In European news, Tottenham has a new coach. Does Tottenham have a new fan?
They may have fans. I already have reached out to Katie Bishop Katie Phillips, the Lady Red Wolves, who is a Tottenham supporter. And so we're going to have some discussions. The head coach of the Wolverhampton Wanderers is Bruno Lage. And so Bruno had a dream, loved Nuno. He did so much for our club, but he's not at my club. And he's at a club I'm not a real big fan of. I don't hate Tottenham.
I
don't regard them as high as others do.
Let me ask you this. Are you happy or sad that you now know Nuno will not win a trophy?
Well, okay, it's a mixed bag because for many, okay, I was afraid he was going to go to a lower club.
Which, he did go to a lower club.
Which, because it looks like he was going to Crystal Palace, and that certainly is a step down. And but if he could turn that around, that could, you know, like he did with Wolves, I could see that approach. But I guess when someone leaves your club, you want them, if they take a step up, it makes you go like, well, they got to step up because of what we did. So there's that aspect. But at the same time, it doesn't matter who they bring in. There was a really good chance they're not going to last the year. And this happens again and again with Tottenham. And so the issue isn't so much who they're bringing as a manager, but it has to do with who's running management. And so for that, I'm glad that Nuno is at a quote-unquote top six side, but I don't want his the headache that he's going to have, because even though, yeah, it didn't end well with Wolves, it was still, through most of it, they had each other's back. He's not going to get that at Tottenham.
So, Adam, make all the jokes you want. I believe they're going to be in the running for the Europa Conference League. So, you know.
You know what? They may win. They may win the middle school trophy. You're right. They're not varsity. You know, they're not junior high. They may win the middle school trophy.
That's probably a trophy. I mean, they're not just going to, like, give them a printed certificate
Actually, in my opinion, the trophy itself actually looks better than the Europa League trophy. But, I mean, like, for the aesthetics of the actual trophy, but it's the equivalent of winning like a preseason cup. I mean, when you look at the quality of the teams that are in there. So yeah, more power to them. Go win it. Everyone can make fun of you that it took UEFA creating a third championship for you to finally win something.
So Euro 2020 quarterfinals were amazeballs.
Well, yeah. The Germany loss to UK was big. But, you know, the one that really I'm still kind of shaking my head over, Switzerland getting past France.
Right?
That was awesome. So, yeah, they're not so neutral, are they, the Swiss? So it's going to be moved on. I know that UK, I think it's a place tomorrow.
UK's going to play on Saturday. We've got
on Saturday,
Spain,
right, yeah.
And Belgium, Italy.
Yeah,
tomorrow. That Belgium, Italy game, I think, will be very interesting.
Yeah, honestly, I think the big games are tomorrow, and then the other games, Czech Republic and Denmark, which Denmark is a emotional favorite for many, if you will, and then England-Ukraine, which Ukraine's kind of a surprise in there. Don't want to knock them, but I do think it does fare better for England that they're facing them as opposed to Italy or Belgium or maybe even Switzerland. So you would think Spain would get past Switzerland, but you certainly said that about France. It's hard to say with Belgium, Italy, but I'm hearing about some injuries that may be impacting Belgium. I'm going to pick Denmark over Czech, and I'm going to pick England over Ukraine.
So you have Denmark facing England?
You mean afterwards? I guess that's how it would break out. So it would be the others. I wimped out on the others. I'm gonna be pressed. I'm gonna pick Spain and I'm gonna pick Belgium, and then it'll be Spain and Belgium and against Denmark and England.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the chalk, and I think we're gonna flip a little bit back. I'm gonna fit the same way as you are with those picks, and I think ultimately that gives England a chance to actually make it to the championship, which I don't think anyone really thought after the round robin was something you would be saying.
Well, the thing is they pulled it together, and after their win against Germany, I think that is making people look at them in a different light.
I think beating Germany, slaying that dragon, is the perfect setup to get them to, you had to put that up there. slaying the dragon of Germany in the round of 16, quarterfinals start tomorrow, is the perfect thing to get all sorts of things built up to the final and having their hearts broken. The final's in Wembley, is it not? Scenic City Angler might be able to tell me. He seems to know everything.
I believe it actually is in Wembley, which the top scorer for England or their most well-known player is really good at failing in Wembley. So it doesn't bode well for England. Harry Kane.
Ouch.
And is it a zinger? Yes, it's a zinger.
Oh, so good.
Good times.
This live feed just making it so much better to rip on Alex.
Now that we actually have,
it would be.
Now we're finally having interaction.
So many opportunities. Yeah. So
next week we will not be live feeding because Alex will be
other. See, the thing is, if you know, like, it's not like we have a good producer that would have caught that in editing and taken it out to not make me look stupid. He would have completely missed it. So, any other Euro thoughts?
I have my thoughts. You have Euro thoughts.
Fair enough. All right. Biggles Wade report. Biggles Wade FC at the end of last season had to ended their ground share with Biggles Wade Town over at the ground there. And so now they have a new one with Bedford. Bedford is kind of the main town up there north of England that is part of the Bedfordshire where Biggles Wade is found. So it's not too far from Biggles Wade, but they have a ground share with Bedford Town, and they played preseason match on Tuesday. Preseason match, 1-0 victory for the Biggles Wade boys. And so they now own that ground, and Bedford Town is sharing with them.
I think that's how that works.
It feels right. So they've won it, so now that ground belongs to Biggles Wade. We've got others that are going to be coming up very soon. I believe Biggles Wade United has one this Saturday. Keep in mind that they have had to transfer. They lost their appeal, so they're going to be in the United Counties League. So we get to learn about a new league on the Step 7 for Biggles Wade United. Good luck to them. And Biggles Wade Town should be coming up soon. Coach Chris Nunn, we love you. he's been trying to, I saw on Twitter, he said something about England that was nice and said sorry to be positive. And it just made me think of you, Adam.
Well, he is also an Arsenal fan, so.
Yeah.
If it runs.
If we need to balance out Adam's negative vibes, we can catch up with Coach Nunn and get some positivity.
There you go.
That's the Biggleswade report.
Sweet.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think we've got some interviews that Jeff got, not the last game, but the game before, that we were going to share with you guys. Jeff, can you kind of?
Yeah, we shot this. This was at the North Carolina match. We were able to get the marquee edit done for that match, but I had to head out, you know, because I knew I was going to be going to the Strip to take my mom up north. So we didn't get time-wise, but I do got the other three ones. The first one we have here is a local favorite, our man, Jonathan Ricketts.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jeff with Soccer Chat, and we're with our good buddy,
Jonathan Ricketts.
All right, Ricketts. Oh, they've been referring to the Red Wolves as the Cardiac Wolves. Do you think that was an apropos name tonight?
Yeah, that's fair enough, but we got to be changing it.
So what changes do you think we have to make to stop being the Cardiac Wolves?
Well, tonight, I don't know. We were knocking on the door the whole game from the first minute. But, I mean, we just got to finish our chances early on when we get them.
What was it? I know it wasn't a gypsy curse. I was wondering if they put cellophane over it. So what was it with stopping those goals from going in there, Jono?
I don't know. I think in my opinion, they were a bit lucky at times. Just in the right spot at the right time. I mean, they did well to keep it out for long enough, but eventually the ball's going to go in the back of the net.
But the sheer number of shots on goal and corners that we got was staggering. So what does that say to our offense that we're creating that many chances?
Yeah, it's great. Our midfielders are finding the gaps and turning, and our wingers are getting in behind and delivering good balls. So we just got to keep it up.
Now, we turned it around in the second half, and that's something we've been doing. So what is it that's turning it from a loss to a win, to a draw, and from a draw to a win in the second half for us?
We're just persistent. We're never going to give up. We're always going to attack, and we're always going to try to score goals.
All right. So you end up having to leave early. What happened with you?
Just some cramps. I'll be good.
All right. So it's a little humid, a little hot, yeah. And you play. When you play, Jono, you put everything out there on the field, and it's very evident. So it looks like you own that real estate on the right side. You are the right back. So how does it feel knowing you've got that area? Like, we don't even have to look at the team sheet. We know exactly who's going to be on the right back. How does that feel?
I mean, it's great. God's given me these physical abilities, and I just got to work my hardest physically, you know, because that's one thing that I can control. So got to give it my all there.
When you're home, of course, we have home advantage, but you really have a special home advantage. How does it feel hearing all these chants out here at CHI?
It's amazing. You know, every time I look up, I don't even have to look around anywhere. I can pick out someone that I know, you know, almost in each seat. So it's a pretty cool experience.
All right. Hey, I know they're calling for you. You're a busy man. Thank you for coming out. Congratulations on the win. Great play. And having a chance to talk to you since this, congratulations on your goal.
Thank you very much.
All right. But you did promise a hat trick. So maybe maybe this Saturday.
Maybe. We'll see.
All right. Hey, this is Wolfman Jeff with Jono Ricketts. I had to work for it.
Oh, that was Jono. He was the only one I was able to join me in the howl.
You had to howl shame him.
I had to howl shame him. Yes, I did. And so that's Jono. Of course, this was at the North Carolina match where we had all those shots on goal. It was unreal how hard it was to get them in. So it was also, I thought, good to talk to our captain again, Josue Carrera Garcia.
All right, I am here with the captain,
Jose Carrera Garcia.
All right, so on hard fought. All right, now looking at the table going in, a lot of us assumed this would be a cakewalk. And because you guys are much stronger than North Carolina, and Did someone put like a voodoo hex over that goal? Because it seemed like nothing wanted to go in.
Right, the keeper was having the game of his life. I think, you know, we were being unlucky. But we knew it was going to come. You know, we knew we were 2-3 goals better than this team, just being honest. We work hard. And it was just unlucky. But we, you know, we stayed patient. We know we're one of the best teams in the league. And we're going to keep that mentality. You know, we had, I think, about 30 shots. And we knew we were going to get 2 or 3 in.
Yeah. So, all right, as the captain, what are you doing to make sure everyone keeps their head in the game?
You know, I play the center mid position, so I try to help everyone out on the field. I try to keep everyone, you know, relaxed. You know, we went down 1-0, and we got to keep our head cold. We can't get hot and start making dumb plays. And, you know, my team makes the job easy. We have really good players, so it's not a lot. You know, I'm just fortunate coach chose me as a captain. And, you know, I just do the best to try to help out my teammates when they need me.
So, all right, so what is it in the second half that really makes the Red Wolves come alive?
Because we like to win, man. I think coach brought nothing but winners. You know, we know we had to play 95-plus minutes, and we gave that. You know, we need to fix giving up early goals and giving up easy goals. Once we fix that, I think we're going to be unplayable. And, you know, we still have some players coming in that aren't 100%. So our focus is, you know, next game, keep us shut out, and we know we're going to score a goal no matter what.
Now, we've got some players you mentioned unplayable. We already knew about Markey, I think, being classified as someone who's almost unplayable against. We got a new player, Ray Ortiz.
Right.
Kind of seems cut from the similar cloth. But then, as a different style, we're really seeing Juan Galindrez with that. His nickname, Tanky, seems to be apropos. So how is him finding his footing really helping us?
It's perfect for us. You know, Galindrez has been big time for us the last 2 games. It's not easy getting used to a new country, new language. So, you know, little by little, he's getting better. We're all behind him, and we know goals are going to keep coming for him. You know, Ray comes from a high level of 2, great player. You know, we have difference makers all over the pitch, which is amazing. And it makes my job easier, it makes coach's job easier, and it makes the entire team's job easier.
So can you hear the fans out here rooting for you here at CHI?
Yes, of course. Of course, we love playing here. It's an amazing atmosphere. We just know it's going to get better. The more we keep winning, we want to have more people out. I think we're the best team in the city. That's without a doubt, and they need to come watch us.
So what do you think about in Tucson when you heard the chanting there? And to me, it sounded like it was louder than the Tucson fans.
Yes, of course. We have a lot of the Southern California guys, a lot of California West Coast kids. So everyone took advantage of that, and we had a lot of fans there, which made our job easier. We were happy to see family and friends, and, you know, we feed off that.
So you guys got a small match coming up next weekend. I believe it's Greenville,
right,
and who have been, I would say, the most dominant team the last couple years in USL League One. So what's the strategy going into the Greenville match?
We just keep doing our thing. You know, we don't worry about the opponent. We worry on what we're doing well. We worry on what little mistakes we make, and we come in and fix them. That's our philosophy. You know, the teams have to worry about us, and we're not going to worry about anyone because we know we're the best team in the league.
Hey, I greatly appreciate it. We will be out here. We will be chanting, "Come on, you Red Wolves!
Come on, you Red Wolves!"
You didn't howl.
Oh, I'm sorry. My voice is gone already.
Oh, it's a mine's gone too.
You know?
Hey, appreciate it.
I think you guys watched these just to see me humiliate myself with the howls. He was nice about it, though. He was nice about it.
I'm sorry, my voice. So great.
It's always good to hear from him and hear why he's the captain. He looked at the big picture and wrote a bit of positivity. And the last one is one you guys know real well, a favorite on the show.
Close personal friend.
He gave us
permission to say that.
Yes, that's what, along with a few orders of brisket sent to Mr. Jason Ramos.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jeff with Soccer Chat with
Jason Ramos.
Hey, Jason, SportsCenter Ramos himself. So it looked a little hairy, and it looked like so frustrating. It just kept knocking. What was going on? Why weren't the balls getting in?
It was a little frustrating at first because we couldn't find the back of the net, but we knew that eventually the goal was going to come. We just had to stick together, couldn't get frustrated, and we knew if we stuck as a team, eventually the 2 goals would come. We're going to turn the thing around and give the fans what they wanted, 3 points and a win here at home. That's the most important now.
All right, so you guys are about, what, maybe a third of the way through, or maybe not even that. A lot of games still ahead of us. Still undefeated at home. What does that mean to you to still be undefeated here at the Den?
It means a lot to us. I mean, as a group, as a team, that's what we want every game. Every game, it doesn't matter if we're home or away, we go for the 3 points. We impose our style of play, and we come out to play every time. So it's a good feeling, of course, to give the fans what they want every time. And just like I said earlier, happy to get the 3 points here at home and happy to have the fans out here and give you guys a win.
All right, so what was the difference to go ahead and just get that ball in the net? It took us like 20-some times to get it in there. So what was that factor you think to finally get it in there?
We just had more gas in the tank. Almost every game, that's what it is. Minute 60, 70, the other teams, they always die out on us. And us, we look complete, we look fit. So that's probably it. We have more gas in the tank than other teams, and that's what's helping us push the whole 90, 95 minutes that we have to play.
All right, I've not talked to you since the match at Tucson, but watching at home, it felt like Tucson was a home game. So how did it feel hearing all those people chant for the Red Wolves there in Tucson?
It gave me the chills thinking about it. Just as you mentioned, I still have the chills right now. I mean, a lot of family from California, a lot of players from California that are here. So a lot of family came out, which meant a lot to us. So if we do it here for you guys at home, we had to do it over there for our family. It's just another, like I said, away or home, we try to get the 3 points. So happy to give our family what they deserve.
Now, we're second on the league table, but we haven't played nearly as many games as a lot of the teams. So what do you think you guys need to do to step it up and to rack up some more 3 points?
Nothing changes. Keep working every day at training. That's what we do. We talk about it every day and get better every day. So we're doing good right now. We're only going to get better towards the end of the season. So it should be scary for the rest of the teams because we're a good f-ing team, man. It's going to be hard for anybody to f-ing beat us. So.
Hey, you're gonna make me edit. You're gonna make me edit. Sorry. No, it's all right. I understand the passion. Yeah. So, are we gonna see another SportsCenter goal from you?
I hope so. I mean, I hope to give you guys some goals, but most importantly, I'm a defender. I want to give you guys a clean sheet. So, as long as we win, we get the 3 points. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter if I score, our forward scores, our right back scores, whoever scores. We need to get the 3 points. So that's all that matters.
Do you think you found a good balance with Navarro holding that back line?
Yeah, I mean. Navarro, Luna, that's on the bench, that's hurt right now. Capo, that's suspended. Anybody that comes in is good enough to get the job done. So we're not worried about that. We trust anybody on the team to come on and get the job done. So that's how it is. That's how we look at it.
All right. So I hope we get Jorge back in there. He was really a great impact. But you're doing a fantastic job for the fans. As you know, we love you out here. Good game. It was a hard-fought win, but it was so sweet when it went in. Yeah. Hey. Thank you, Jason.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Thank you for talking to me again, and hope to see you guys next weekend.
So this is Soccer Chat, the After Dark edition. Thanks, Jason.
No howl. No howl for him. You catch that?
I think we could have used the howl as the bleep.
He's not wrong.
I mean, spot the lie.
Yeah. Here's my thing. Jeff.
Yeah.
You failed to let us know that he was the one that actually let it slip that there was a suspension happening prior to Ableda doing that last week on our interview.
What? I've been gone, man. I've been gone. I've been in
Ohio. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, Alex?
I mean, me not telling you things is kind of on brand.
Well,
I didn't know either, but you know.
Well, that was
it. Is fun to not tell you stuff and watch you get surprised.
Yeah, and so we release it after the fact because we fear the front office like the actors fear Marvel in not being able to release any spoilers. So otherwise, if we show all the news, we don't get any news. So
good point. All right, guys, you got anything else?
I think I've shared more than I should have.
That seems fair. All right, on that note.
Bye.
Did I ever